7.1 seconds after being unceremoniously ejected from the back of the Untitled, Mech and Miz glided to the ground. The parachute fluttered down over their heads before twanging back into a basketball-sized blob of goo.
Thanks, man.
Splurt grew an arm and raised a thumb.
There they go.
Above them, the Untitled sped straight for the spider dragon, banked left, and curved around its mile-long torso. From inside the ship, the monster had seemed enormous. Out here, it didn't actually look any bigger. It was more that they felt smaller. The bug could have squashed them in the Untitled. Down here, they felt beneath its notice. What had noticed them, though, was one of the smaller arachna beasts. Several of them, actually. They bore down on them from all sides, mandibles opening and snapping in time with each step.
I make six.
Mech stood back to back with Miz.
Half each?
Ha! Yeah. Try to keep up, Grandpa.
Miz glanced back at Mech. He met her eye.
Be careful, kid.
Like, you too.
She curled up her gums, dropped to her haunches, and lunged. Mech adjusted the dial on his chest, diverting some of his brain power to his hydraulics. His strength levels increased.
That's what I'm talking about.
He raised both his arms, took aim, and fired. Unnoticed by either of them, Splurt inflated, becoming a colorful beach ball. He rolled off along the street, weaving between the legs of several other spider things. He bounced around happily in front of them, looping in the air and drawing a figure of eight on the road. The spiders gave chase. Splurt rolled away, zigging and zagging down the road, always keeping just out of reach. The Untitled finished its maneuver around the spider dragon and straightened onto an even keel.
We're clear.
Good. Kevin, how are the ground troops doing?
Still alive, sir. Master Mech and Mistress Mizette are both in the process of battling the infant spider dragons.
And Splurt?
It appears he's running away, sir.
He is? That's good, I guess. Safety first.
We've got a problem.
Is it the god-sized spider dragon chasing us? If so, yeah, I noticed.
That's the problem. It isn't chasing us.
Sure enough, the rear camera view showed the beast still looming over the city, its crane-sized mandibles snapping as it lowered its head towards the outer ring of buildings.
I think it's going for Mech and Miz.
Fuck! Kevin, blast that thing up the shiz pipe. That should get its attention.
Missiles, sir?
Sounds good. Fire!
As I believe I previously stated, launch would be a more appropriate...
Just do it!
Four missiles launched, two from each side of the ship. This time, they didn't swing wide, and instead hammered one at a time into the spider dragon's bountiful backside. The creature stumbled around on all six legs. A jet of flame ignited in its throat, scorching the air between it and the Untitled.
Yeah, that seemed to do the trick.
The monster's legs twitched, launching it towards them.
A little too well.
Lauren steered the ship to the left and narrowly avoided being pinned.
Now let's take this ugly old funk for a walk.
Cal glanced back at Soonsho. She was sitting with her back pressed against the wall, eyes wide, knuckles white on her chair's armrests.
Don't worry, we do this kind of thing all the time. I mean, you know, not exactly this, but broadly similar.
Fire crackled past the view screen. Cal tried his best to look reassuringly calm.
Nothing to worry about, just you try to relax.
He winked at her, smiled again, then turned back to the front. The shiny red landscape rolled past beneath them. In the rear view, the spider dragon picked its way across the uneven ground, leaving the city behind as it followed the Untitled.
That's it, baby. Stick with us, and we'll see how tough you really are.
Mech's hand clamped around a leg that had been on a direct collision course with his head. He yanked sharply, pulling the spider towards him, just as he drove a wrecking ball uppercut into its jaw. The skeletal hinge that connected its mandibles together shattered. Mech twisted, ripping the monster's leg off. As he spun, he hurled it at another of the things. The barbed end embedded deep into the second creature's side. It turned to towards him, only to be met head-on by a series of armor-shattering laser blasts from Mech's arm cannons. Its skull exploded in quite a pleasing way. The spider wobbled unsteadily on its six legs for a few seconds, then fell. By the time it hit the ground, Mech was already blasting a hole in his next target. Man, this was fun. It actually worried him a little how much he was enjoying it. Since the war, he'd always considered himself something of a pacifist. Not a very good one, by any means. He got into a lot of fights, for one thing, and he suspected that very few other pacifists had military-grade weapons systems built into their forearms or a dial on their chest that allowed them to kill more efficiently. But hypothetically, at least, he considered himself a pacifist. Yes, he'd hit, hurt, maimed, and murdered multiple times, but he hadn't enjoyed any of it. Well, some of it. He'd enjoyed some of it. But never like this.
Bring it on, motherfuckers!
He cranked his dial up another notch and hurled himself into a seething mass of spider bodies. A little further along the street, Miz was getting in touch with her animal side. Unlike Mech, she didn't lie to herself about being a pacifist. She knew exactly what she was, and she reveled in it. It was rare that she got the opportunity to really cut loose. Her father had never wanted her to fight at all. It wasn't done for Grake's females to get blood on their claws, and especially not members of the royal family. But she was just so good at it. For all her bluff and bravado, Miz never really thought of herself as gifted or talented. She wasn't funny like Cal, or super intelligent like Mech, or super strong also like Mech, depending on which way his dial was turned. She could probably fly a ship as well as Lauren, but then that wasn't exactly saying much. A short length of rope and a brick could probably fly a ship as well as Lauren, provided someone pointed it in the right direction. But this she was good at. This she could do. Several miles away, Splurt had amassed a small army of spiders. He had stopped being a beach ball a little while back, and now took the form of a man. Specifically, Dan Dan the Music Man, a children's entertainer who had been the surprise guest at Cal's sixth birthday party, and who, for reasons Splurt wasn't clear on, was somehow still near the forefront of Cal's memory. Several hundred Cantatorians hid in their houses, peering out the windows as the procession passed. Splurt, or Dan Dan the Music Man, depending on your perspective, danced and jigged along at the front, skillfully keeping his distance from the spider creatures, but never getting so far away that they lost interest. Only he could hear the music. Let's Hear It for the Boy by Denise Williams from the soundtrack to the movie Footloose, as he was currently pulling it directly from Cal's subconscious. If any of the watching Cantatorians could have heard it, however, they would have no doubt been genuinely impressed by the way he ducked, dodged, and darted along in perfect time to the beat. With an army of baby spider dragons following behind him and wearing the face of a middle-aged kid's party entertainer from the late 1980s, Splurt bopped and jived onward through the city. Cal leaned forward in his chair. The spider dragon stood front and center on the view screen, the city of Contato Minor a dim glow behind it in the distance.
Fire!
Nothing happened.
Ah, Jesus. Okay, fine. Launch.
Launching, sir.
12 photon missiles streaked towards the monster. Its puckered mouth opened, but the missiles all separated, curving wide like planets in a decaying orbit around a parent sun. The spider dragon spewed its fire in a wide sweep, igniting 7 of the missiles before they could connect. The remaining 5 hammered its ribcage, or roughly where Cal imagined its ribcage to be, at any rate, and this time the monster took notice. It jerked violently and raced forwards, bucking its head like a charging bull. Lauren reacted quickly, firing the lift thrusters and propelling the Untitled upwards out of the creature's reach.
Pew, pew, pew!
Cal sprayed it with a few quick blasts from his pew-pew gun, but they thudded harmlessly into the top of the armored skull.
What was that white laser thing you fired earlier?
There was silence for a moment.
Me, sir?
Yes, you. Who the funk else? Yes, the white laser thing.
The phased disintegration blast, sir?
Could be. Let's see. Give it a taste of that.
Very good, sir.
Two beams of white energy stabbed down at the spider dragon. It wriggled as the beams carved two trenches in its armor, deep, but not deep enough to do any real damage. It raised its head and spat fire at them, forcing Lauren to dodge again.
Wow, this thing is fast. That was close.
Have we hurt it at all? Beyond its feelings, I mean?
Hurt what, sir?
What do you mean, hurt what? The spider, the funky spider dragon!
Oh yes, that.
Cal made an exasperated gesture in the direction of the ceiling, but said nothing. There was a moment of silent calculation.
I'm going to be honest with you, sir. We haven't hurt it much. We've put a few scratches on its exoskeleton, and not a whole lot else. We appear to be getting on its nerves more than anything.
What else have we got?
An impending sense of doom, sir? Or perhaps that's just me.
Weapon-wise, I mean, do we have anything else we can hit this thing with?
I'm afraid not, sir. It's... Oh.
Cal looked up.
What? What is it?
It appears we do have another weapon on board, sir. We have the Omega Cannon.
That sounds more like it. What does it do?
I have absolutely no idea.
Lauren shunted the Untitled sideways, avoiding a leaping leg strike from the spider dragon.
You've forgotten?
No, sir. It appears the details of the Omega Cannon have been kept from me on purpose. Its schematics are not available for me to access. What I can detect of its circuitry is rather baffling.
Ah, what the hell? Let's try it.
Are you nuts? You don't know what it does.
So? It's a weapon, and we need a weapon if we're going to stop that thing. Kevin, fire.
Kevin, don't.
Lauren turned in her seat.
You heard what he said. He has no idea what it'll do. It might blow that thing to bits, or it might wipe out half the planet, half the galaxy for all we know.
Lauren!
No, just listen for once!
Lauren!
She turned back to the screen, only to find it filled from edge to edge in all directions by the head and mandibles of the spider dragon as it launched itself towards them. Its pincers snapped around the ship, its head jerked sharply. The Untitled flipped through the air, then slammed against the ground. Cal had been in space for less than 2 months and had now officially been involved in his second spaceship crash. Technically, he'd been in more than two, but the others were mostly just bumps, prangs, and the occasional drawn-out grinding scrape as Lauren had failed to clear a docking bay properly, landed awkwardly on a platform, or, on one memorable occasion, flown at warp speed through a grocery store. What Cal would consider his first proper spaceship crash had been a biggie. So big, in fact, that it had destroyed the ship, churned up a mile-long stretch of forest, and, most depressingly, broken his guitar. Man, he missed that guitar. This latest crash wasn't so bad. Sure, it had started out pretty grim, what with being grabbed by an enormous spider and everything, but the Untitled's shields had deflected the worst of the ground impact, and the hull seemed to have remained intact. That was the good news. The bad news was that they were now upside down, and the leg of the aforementioned enormous spider was currently pinning them to the ground. The spider dragon's sphincter-like mouth hung above them, dribbling a viscous orange-red liquid along the length of its mandibles. The thing might have no eyes, but it seemed to be gazing right at them.
Kevin, Lauren, someone get us out of here.
The straps of his chair were holding him in place, stopping him plunging towards the ceiling below.
Can't. Not while it's got us pinned. If we were the right way up.
Wait, what's it doing?
The spider dragon's vast body was inching down towards the ship. It was so close, they could make out the tiny hairs on the underside of its armored belly, each one barely the size of an exceptionally tall man.
Is it going to have sex with us?
He looked anxiously to Lauren.
Surely this calls for the Omega Cannon.
I suspect it's trying to crack us open, sir. Rather like one might crack open the shell of one of your Earth coconuts in order to get at the flesh inside.
Okay.
You would be the flesh in that analogy, sir.
I got that. Thanks.
And to a lesser extent, the milk.
They could see almost nothing on the viewscreen now but exoskeleton and a narrowing sliver of the world beyond. Any second now, the thing would be on top of them.
How long can we hold up under its weight?
I'm afraid I don't know, ma'am. Without having more detailed knowledge of the creature's mass, I could only estimate.
Then do that! Estimate!
Very good, ma'am. I estimate hull integrity would remain intact for somewhere between 3 hours...
Oh, thank God.
...and 2.6 seconds.
I rescind that last statement. Can you estimate any more accurately than that? Because, and no offense here, Kevin, that sounds like you're covering a lot of bases.
Wait, look!
On screen, the spider was rapidly rising. It began to turn, and the Untitled rocked as the leg was withdrawn from its exposed belly.
It's leaving! It's letting us go!
All right! See, Suncho? I told you everything was gonna be...
He wiggled his chair around, which wasn't easy in his upside-down position. The chair where the girl had been sitting was empty. Suncho was gone.
Cal?
Lauren's eyes flitted to one of the many warning messages currently lighting up the screen.
The landing hatch.
She looked back over her shoulder.
It's open.
Miz spun, slashed, dodged, snapped, then hurled herself at a spider creature, ripping at its eyes with her claws. Her fur was thick with blood and gunge. Her limbs ached, but she fought on. She'd been too late to stop this last spider before it stabbed a hooked leg through the chest of a fleeing Cantatorian. All she could offer its victim now was vengeance, and she was serving it up as best she could. The young spider dragon opened its round mouth. A jet of blue flame escaped it, forcing Miz to skitter back out of its way.
Okay, I sorta hoped you guys wouldn't figure that out. Still, I guess it just makes the whole thing more exciting.
She ducked under the fire, twisted beneath it, then raked both sets of claws down on the monster's now exposed chin. The flesh split, spilling the spider's black, tar-like blood onto the ground. She looked across to where the broken body of the Cantatorian lay, pushed down a pang of something like guilt, then turned to find her next target. Barbed feet sunk into her shoulders and thighs, pinning her like a butterfly. She gritted her teeth, but refused to scream. Yeah, like that was going to happen, as mandibles gnashed at her, spraying her with blobs of hot spider spit. She struggled against the weight of the monsters, but each movement just dug the legs deeper into her flesh. A head lowered towards her. The puckered mouth expanded, and a gust of warm air rolled down over her face.
Ew. Your breath totally reeks. Also, I hope you fucking choke on me!
She spat in its eye. Then quickly spat in the others for good measure. She braced herself, but refused to look away as the head lowered and the mouth opened and a metal hand clamped down on the monster's skull. Miz frowned. Wait, what was that last one? The head was yanked back. A blast of laser fire exited through the front of its face, turning it into a gooey black paste. The other spiders surrounded the lead one. Mech spun around, blasting them all at point-blank range in the head and throat. Two dropped instantly. The last remaining one stumbled backwards, no doubt giving some serious thought to this whole invasion endeavor. Mech finished it with another few short blasts, then turned in time to catch the headless first spider before it collapsed onto Miz.
Get it off me!
But its legs, ain't they hooked in?
Just do it!
Mech got himself beneath the creature's lifeless body and pushed upwards, heaving it above his head. Mech tossed the spider away. The area around them was clear now, provided you didn't count the corpses, limbs, and gungy black blood, but that wouldn't last long. They had to move, And soon. Mech dropped to one knee and extended a hand to the fallen Mizzet. At first, she batted it away, but when he held it out a second time, she considered it more carefully. She looked at the hand. She looked past it to the mashup of metal and scarred flesh that made up Mech's face. He looked different from this angle. Bolder, more dynamic. Hot, even. Miz flicked her tongue across her chops, wiped a blob of spider's face from her fur, then took Mech's hand. He hoisted her to her feet with such suddenness, she was forced to throw her arms around his impressively broad shoulders.
Hey.
Hey yourself.
Her hands caressed the back of his neck and his frown deepened. It almost came as a relief when he heard the sound of approaching spider dragons. The relief, however, did not last long. There were hundreds of them, approaching along the street like an army. They hurried along, teetering on their ridiculous legs. It took Mech a moment to realize why they were in such a rush. They were chasing someone.
Who is that guy?
Miz peered along the street to where a man with a piano tie and a matching belt was jigging and dancing at the head of the spider conga. Cal swung down from his chair, dropped to the ceiling, and launched himself towards the door.
Get the ship the right way up and be ready.
Ready for what?
Funked if I know.
Cal jumped up and caught the door lintel. His boots scrambled on the wall as he clambered for the opening above him.
Just be ready in general.
Too many seconds of climbing and scrambling later, he made it to the hatch by way of the armory, lowered himself from the doorway, and dropped several feet to the ground. Cal sprinted clear just as the Untitled's thrusters propelled it along the ground in a shower of sparks. He'd have clamped his hands over his ears were it not for the fact that he was holding two quite cumbersome hand grenades. A blaster rifle was slung across his chest, with a pistol tucked into the back of his pants for good measure. None of it was likely to hurt the spider dragon, he knew, but he sure felt better for having it. Cal raced up the side of a low metal hillock, his head back as he watched the monster above. It had blocked out most of the sky, casting the world around Cal into cold shadow. It was still in the process of turning and backing itself up a little. From the way it moved, it seemed to be targeting a ridge 100 feet or so to Cal's right. He set off towards it at speed.
Zuncho! Zuncho, where are you?
He skidded over the ridge, discovered quite a steep drop on the other side, and bounced twice on the way to the ground. The blaster pistol fired, scorching his buttocks and burning a hole in the seat of his pants. After he'd recovered from that shock, Cal risked a glance at the hand grenades. Neither one showed any signs of being about to go off, so that was something, at least. He struggled upright, considered getting rid of the pistol, then decided instead just not to fall from a height onto it again.
Zuncho!
Then he turned to find her standing immediately behind him.
Jesus! Never sneak up on a man with explosives in both hands. That's like rule number one.
The spider dragon's head hung over them, the tips of the mandibles just 50 or 60 feet from where they stood. Beyond the mandibles, its cavernous mouth was opening like a camera shutter, revealing a vast, moist blackness beyond. Suncho stepped forwards and put her arms out at her side, inviting the monster to come for her. Cal pulled her back, caught the pin of one of the grenades in his teeth, and pulled it free. Tossing it upwards with all his might, he dragged Suncho away. Taking cover behind a jagged outcrop, Cal watched the grenade soar up, up, up towards its target, and then fall down, down, down to the ground.
Oh, that was fucking useless.
Cal tossed the other grenade away. He swung the blaster rifle into one hand and caught Suncho's arm with the other.
Come on, let's get out in the open and hope Lauren can see us.
He tried to drag her on, but Suncho stood her ground. She pointed angrily to the approaching spider dragon, then her face softened a little as she curved her finger back around to point at herself.
No, no, you don't have to do that. It's not your job to stop that thing. You don't have to...
Cal didn't hear the sound she made, but he felt it. It hit him like a hurricane, huffing the breath from his lungs and hurtling him backwards through the air. He crashed hard into a boulder-sized lump of metal and slid down it, his body completely ignoring his brain's instructions to get up again. In a minute, it seemed to say. Let's just lie down for a bit. Doesn't this rock feel nice? Cal watched helplessly as Soonsho turned away. He tried to call to her, but he had no breath left in him to make the sound. She opened her arms and tilted her head to the sky, an offering to the monster. Its head lowered, its mandibles snapped open, its mouth unpuckered. Cal stared at the hideous thing. He stared at the girl. He remembered the rifle in his hand. He pointed it at Soonsho. His finger found the trigger, and he squeezed. Miz limped clear of Mech, and they both braced themselves for a fight. It was not, judging by the number of spiders approaching, a fight they had any hope of winning. But that had never stopped either of them in the past. Halfway between them and the spider creatures, Dan the Music Man jigged towards them, his short, flabby body gyrating in perfect time to Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners, which only he could hear. Without the benefit of the music, the guy looked positively insane as he sashayed and slide-stepped the last few feet, then stopped just ahead of Mech and Miz.
Who the funk are you?
Dan the Music Man smiled and winked at them. Then he crisply about turned until he was facing the approaching spiders. They were closing fast now, a few hundred of the things scuttling along on a few thousand legs. Splurt shifted, changing his form from that of an ex-children's entertainer to something very tall and very wide, with a large, heavy, hammer-shaped head.
Splat!
Oh, man!
Even with his dial turned to the right, he was smart enough to realize what was about to happen.
That thing's a genius!
The spiders stopped scuttling and looked up. Splurt, despite having no face and a head made of ultra-dense neutronium, smiled. Much as he'd enjoyed the dancing, this had been the part he'd been most looking forward to. The blast from the rifle clipped Soonsho on the underside of one outstretched arm, searing a perfectly circular hole in the flesh a few inches above her elbow. Whether it was the shock or the pain, it was impossible to tell, but the effect was instantaneous. With a mile-long spider dragon preparing to devour her, and her skin still sizzling from where Cal had shot her, Soonsho Suits opened her mouth and, finally, began to scream. The sound rose like a shockwave into the air. Even though he was several dozen feet behind her, Cal was forced to cover his head with his hands and grit his teeth as his eardrums collapsed and his skeleton tried to shake itself free of his body. The spider dragon's head snapped back as if hit by an invisible uppercut. A web of cracks appeared on the glazing of the monster's exoskeleton, fissuring and widening as Soonsho unleashed a lifetime of fear and worry and betrayal and regret in one long, drawn-out wail. It rose from within her like an unstoppable force. All those horrors, all those years spent tearfully preparing for her own agonizing death were because of this creature. Because of this monster, because of this thing. For the first time in her life, Soonsho sang, and the world trembled at the beauty and the horror of it. The monster's armor split open. Canyons raced along it, revealing the soft, pulpy flesh beneath. 15 years of silence, 15 years of holding back, came to an end in a single flowing aria that ignited the clouds above her, scorching the sky in columns of flickering color. Then her breath finally ran out. The spider dragon stumbled, its legs not quite its own, its armor falling away in truck-sized slivers. One of its mandibles hung limply and uselessly, while the other moved slowly back and forth, as if searching for its missing mate. But the mouth was opening. The head was coming down, and the spider dragon, despite the damage, was hungry for one last meal.
No!
Cal made it to his feet. He closed the gap between them in a second and a half, then hurled himself at Soonsho. They connected just as four fiery red photon missiles slammed into the great beast above them. All four of the blasts pierced the thing's exposed, quivering flesh, then detonated deep inside its skull. The spider dragon toppled sideways and fell to the ground. The currently untitled swooped above them, firing its landing thrusters as it came in for a landing.
You okay?
Cal's eardrums had been completely obliterated, and he still had a hole in the back of his pants, but all things considered, it could have gone worse.
Sorry I shot you!
Soonsho nodded shakily and clutched her wounded arm.
That'll stitch right up! Seriously, it won't even leave a...
Cal's ears began to itch like crazy. There was a sharp ache, and suddenly the world became much louder. He jabbed a pinky finger inside one ear and wiggled it around.
Ah, what the... Testing. La 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 la. Hey. Hey. Hey.
Yep, all good.
Oh, man. Forget Hannibal and Face. I am totally Wolverine.
The Untitled landed beside him in a swirl of dust and spider armor fragments.
One sec, I have to check something.
Soonsho watched him run across the barren metal until he eventually reached one of the spider's legs. He kicked it. He mumbled something too quiet for Soonsho to hear. He waited. Then he turned around and walked back.
Yep, it's definitely dead.
Cal gestured towards the back of the ship just as the ramp lowered.
Now, shall we?
Cal, Soonsho, and Lauren stepped down from the Untitled into a scene of utter carnage. Even from up in the sky, the scene spread out before them had immediately catapulted itself into Cal's top 10 list of the worst things he'd ever seen, nudging his naked grandmother into 11th place. Now that he was actually standing knee-deep in the sludgy black gore, though, it was rapidly closing in on the top 5. Mech and Miz sat on the back of a partially crushed spider creature. They waved at Cal as he sloshed through the flood of insect guts, both looking relaxed, like this was the most normal thing in the world.
What the hell happened? Did you guys do this?
Uh-uh.
We did like 5%.
Then how did... Splurt?
A little green blob rolled out from behind Mech, squidged into a pancake shape, then boinged into Cal's arms. At least that was the intention. Caught off guard, however, Cal missed, and Splurt vanished into the spider slurry.
Oh, shiz. Sorry, buddy.
Cal then jumped in fright as a long green tentacle wrapped itself around his neck, and Splurt leapt up onto his shoulder. Cal tickled him where he imagined the little guy's chin to be.
You did all this?
Splurt shuddered happily.
Well, way to go, you adorable funky psycho! Good job!
A number of floating discs swooped down over the buildings around them, ferrying the conductor and conductress, Soonsho's parents, and a number of official-looking men in uniform.
Oh, here we go. Look heroic, guys. Space team just saved the day.
You idiots! What have you done? What have you done?
Saved the day? Killed the dragon spider?
Spider dragon!
Whatever. And all its little baby dragon spiders? So, you know, you can all live happily ever after. You're welcome.
You have doomed us all.
The conductor stabbed a finger at Soonsho, who drew back in fright.
She has doomed us all.
What are you talking about? She, well, we, but mostly her, totally killed that thing. It's gone. Kaput. You don't have to feed it children anymore, which I would consider a definite win.
The spider dragon of Saktar was our only defense. For millennia, it was our protector, our guardian, resting, biding its time until it was needed. And now...
He gesticulated towards the mountain-sized cadaver in the distance.
Now look at it! We are defenseless!
You gotta have guns, right?
No, we don't have guns. Why would we need guns? We had the spider dragon of Saktar!
Ooh, great question. Even without your dial turned, you're super smart.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, monster spider-based planetary defenses are notoriously unreliable. Seriously, it's a miracle you guys weren't wiped out centuries ago. We've totally done you a favor. And secondly, hello, you've got something even better.
He put an arm around Soonsho's shoulders.
You've got Soonsho.
Cal squeezed Soonsho's wounded arm. One of the uniformed men, who had been hanging back on his disc, looking vaguely menacing, was flipped backwards off it and plunged into the gunk. The conductor and conductress backed away slowly. Even Soonsho's parents watched her with fear in their eyes. Soonsho took a step towards them, but stopped when she saw them tense up in fright.
She is powerful, of that there is no doubt. But she cannot be everywhere at once. She cannot protect Kantato Minor forever. Without the spider dragon of Saktar, we are all victims, just waiting to meet our fates.
Soonsho looked down at her feet for a moment, then tugged on Cal's sleeve. She glanced across to her parents. Neither of them could hold her eye. Her lips moved silently. Miz's ears pricked up.
What's she saying?
She's saying she's sorry.
Miz cocked her head a little.
And she's saying she has an idea.
Are you sure about this?
Soonsho nodded. Behind her, Dorid Tarkula, the real, genuine, accept-no-imitations original, stood in the doorway of his castle. He was alone. His failed clones, he assured them, had been put out of their misery.
I mean, this is a pretty creepy castle, even with all the freaks gone. Look at it. It's definitely haunted. And I bet even the ghosts are a tiny bit creeped out by the place.
Soonsho's lips moved.
She says she'll be okay. She says she wants to do it, so her parents can be safe.
Not sure if I'd bother them myself. Didn't exactly strike me as a loving family.
I guarantee the girl's safety. My behavior earlier, that wasn't me. I was desperate. But that does not justify my actions. Soonsho and I will develop the sonic shielding together. I will use it here and install it on Kantato Minor also. Thanks to her, to her voice, her people will be protected. Always.
And Xurtex won't be able to steal your stuff.
Perhaps we can all stay out of the coming war after all.
Cal looked to Soonsho, then made a clumsy waveform with his hand.
May your song carry long and carry far, kid.
Soonsho smiled shyly at Cal, then threw her arms around him and hugged him. She pulled away after a few moments, waved to the crew, then scuttled into the castle.
I will protect her. You have my word.
We'll hold you to that.
Yeah. We'll totally be watching.
We mean it. You don't want to mess with us.
Especially him.
Cal jabbed a thumb towards Splurt, who pulsed on the landing ramp, watching on in cheerful silence.
Seriously, he has issues. You don't even want to know.
With a final warning glare from each of them, the crew turned and headed up the ramp.
Oh, one question. What's the Omega Cannon?
He turned, but Dorid was gone and the door was closed.
Ah, what the hell. It'll be more fun to figure it out.
And then he marched up the ramp, strode along the corridor, and onto the flight deck.
Captain on the bridge.
No one paid him even the slightest bit of attention, much less snapped to salute. He slid into his chair just as Lauren fired up the thrusters. The dark slate landscape lurched as the Untitled lifted into the air and headed for orbit.
Okay, so what's the plan, troops? We've got money in our pocket, a ship under our feet, and a whole lot of stars in the sky to choose from. Any suggestions?
The screen flared a rainbow of colors as they left the atmosphere.
I got one.
Mech picked an apparently arbitrary direction and pointed.
Head that way. And don't stop until we're way at the other side of the nebula.
One suggestion, Miz.
I want to do whatever Mech wants to do.
A flicker of a frown passed over Cal's face.
Okay. What about your boat?
Mech doesn't like boats.
Well, that is true.
Cal looked from Miz to Mech and back again, then shook his head.
Lauren, any suggestions?
Picking up a transmission.
It took Cal a second to realize she wasn't making a suggestion and was, in fact, picking up a transmission.
Is it Dorid? Soonshell?
No, Samorium.
Ha! Yeah, right. Like we're gonna fall for that one again. Nice try, Cornac.
Not this time, sir. I have been able to establish a video feed with the Samorium ship. And, well, it isn't good news. Certainly not if you're on board it, at any rate.
On screen.
A box appeared in the top right corner of the screen. It was black, and at first Cal thought the video hadn't started to play, but then sparks flew in the darkness, illuminating a heavily damaged corridor. One of the ship's crew, a particularly stocky and shark-like older Samorium, lay sprawled on the floor, his body folded in such a way that it was immediately apparent he was dead. And not just a bit dead, top-level dead. A wall had exploded beside him, filling him with shrapnel. When the damaged circuitry sparked, the light showed clouds of white air being siphoned through the hole in the wall and out into the vacuum beyond.
This is Commander Hunter of the Samorium.
Hunter?
The crew and the commander had a short but eventful history together, and one which, miraculously, had seen them part as friends.
Can he hear me?
This is a pre-record. It's one way.
We are under attack. Half of my crew is dead. My daughter is gone. If you are within the sound of my voice, please help us. We don't have...
The transmission cut off.
That's all there is of it, sir. I've been able to ascertain the last position of the ship that sent the message. Putting them on screen.
Zyrtex did this.
Lauren's words hung heavily in the air.
Like I said, ain't nobody getting out of this one. This war of theirs, of Zyrtex, is gonna tear this galaxy apart.
So, like, what do we do?
More silence fell. Cal looked at the blinking red dot on screen, showing the location of the Samorium ship. He looked out at the stars, far off in the direction Mech had pointed, and the universe of possibility that lay that way. They would all be looking to him, he knew. They would all be waiting for an answer. But he didn't know the answer to that question. Not the right one, anyway. What would Cal Carver do? Now that one... he did know the answer to, right or wrong.
Lauren?
He leaned back in his chair and gripped his armrests.
Plot us a course.
Space Team Universe 4, Song of the Space Siren, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2016 Barry J. Hutchison. All rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the author. Production copyright 2021 Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Written by Barry J. Hutchison. Performed by Phil Thrawn as narrator, Danny Gavigan as Cal, Carolyn Kashner as Lauren, Darius Johnson as Mech, Yasmin Twazon as Mizette, Scott McCormick as Dorid Tarkula, Christopher Walker as Kevin, Terrence Aselford as Cornac, and Chris Davenport as the Conductor. With Rob McFadgen, Stephen Carpenter, Richard Rowan, Bradley Foster Smith, Laura C. Harris, Steve Winall, Alejandro Ruiz, Melody Muse, Chris Stinson, Colleen Delaney, Michael John Casey, Nora Ashrati, Nanette Savard, Eric Messner, Nathaniel Perry, and Ken Jackson. Directed by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Rick Rowan, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Executive Producer Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. Book adapted for graphic audio by Nathaniel Perry. If you enjoyed Space Team, check out the Superpowered series by Drew Hayes, along with our whole catalog of exciting releases at www.graphicaudio.net.
Welcome, freshmen. It is my pleasure as Dean of the Hero Certification Program to be the first to congratulate you on making the cut and being enrolled in our very elite little academy. As all of you should know, becoming a hero is a grueling task. You'll be taking combat classes, training your tactical skills, and possibly most importantly of all, you'll be learning about the ethics behind having and using abilities. And of course, you'll be doing all of that while maintaining your secret identity.
From novelist Drew Hayes.
My name is Vince Reynolds. My power is absorption, storage, and redistribution of energy.
Nick Campbell. And I've got the power of creating and controlling luck.
My name is Alice Adair, and I have the power of flight.
My name is Mary, and my power is an advanced brain, which gives me telekinesis and telepathy.
My name is Herschel Daniels, and I'm from Chicago.
You forgot to tell us what your power is.
Well, I guess it's because I don't really have any powers. I mean, I do, but it's complicated.
He's a shifter.
Oh, why didn't you say so? Author of NPCs, Secondhand Curses, and Fred the Vampire Accountant.
I come to challenge you for your rank.
You're in the top five, so I won't be taking it easy on you.
Taking it easy? You better off worrying about how you find the strength to last 5 minutes against the powerhouse you're facing.
Be ready. This one could get messy.
This is a match for ranking. As such, the only ways to win are to incapacitate your opponent or force him to give up.
Begin!
Graphic Audio proudly presents.
Time to show these pansies what a real super can do.
Oh, shit.
Superpowers, Year One.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,500 titles to choose from. Listen to over 150 binge-worthy series, from sci-fi to fantasy, to graphic novels, to mystery thrillers, to action-adventure, to westerns, and more. Check out our exclusive titles, available only in our dramatized adaptation format. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase a download series set at graphicaudio.net. You can also earn loyalty reward points, redeemable towards future online purchases. Stream audiobooks immediately, or download them to listen offline on your mobile phone or tablet using our Graphic Audio Access app, which is available on all Android and Apple devices. We like being radically different when it comes to our audiobook productions. Listen to A Movie in Your Mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Visit our web store today at graphicaudio.net.